This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I'm your host, David Sunday. Normally each month I have a guest. This is my second one in a row, but sadly I did not book a guest, so I'm just going to keep things very brief. Like I said, it's episode 21. This is actually, I think, month marks the 2-year anniversary. I've missed a couple months along the way, but yeah, sometimes life gets in the way, sometimes just my last minute planning gets in the way. I'm doing this episode mostly right now because I was inspired the other day after watching a movie I watched yesterday and really, really enjoyed it. I'll have a lot more to say about that in the second half. But I thought, since lately I've had a lot of music that's been grabbing me, there's a lot of new singles coming out, and just some stuff that's been holding my attention and making its way on a lot of my playlists and stuff, I thought I would do a short episode on my thoughts on yesterday and the Beatles, and then in this first part I'm going to talk about just some current music. So, the song you heard as this episode started was a band called Pack, P-A-C-K. They are out of Pittsburgh. And they're kind of hard to find much on because they're brand new. I mean, well, I guess they were announced maybe a year ago, but they have just 2 songs so far. But they came to my attention because one of the guitarists of the Juliana Theory, a band that you probably heard me talk about ad nauseum on this show, but it's just a band I really, really enjoy. And so Josh Fiedler from Juliana Theory had been tweeting out about some of their side projects and stuff like that, and so this is a band that started. It's got him, somebody from Zayo, which was a band that lead singer of Juliana Theory was in for a little while. It was actually, I think, his first band ever. But anyway, this one kind of spawned out of them doing some Tom Petty shows. Like, they were doing some Tom Petty tribute shows after his death, and this just kind of happened where they were enjoying making music. And so they're fronted by Kelly Tobias, and she's a really good singer. It's hard to really describe her. She's not, like, the band is kind of hard rock, but they have a lot more to that than just being hard rock. And she's not a screamer, at least not on these 2 tracks. She's got a really, really good, strong voice. So, like I say, if you look them up, it's just Pack, P-A-C-K, and their 2 songs are, oh crap, I just had it. Oh, I'm on Fire and Sick of Myself. I'm on Fire came out a while back, and so I've had that one. I've listened to off and on for quite a while now, and I've probably been listening to it at least once a week for the past month or more, probably at least a few times a week. It's on a few playlists of mine. So anyway, but there's that one, and like I said, there's also Sick of Myself. So you can definitely find that on YouTube. I actually found it on my Amazon Music app that I use, the unlimited version, because it's got a ton of stuff on there. And it's just easy because it keeps all my stuff together that I've purchased through them over the years. So anyway, I strongly encourage you to check them out. Like I said, the intro song is going to be I'm on Fire by them. Now, you probably won't get to hear a whole lot of it because we keep our intros short just because of copyright reasons. Sorry, my computer thought I needed to know something right in the middle of my recording, so that probably shows up on the audio. But nonetheless, we're going to power through. So, anyway, that was I mentioned a pack. Check him out. I know that the guitarist from Giuliana Theory, he's a really cool dude. I know he's usually responds to tweets and stuff, and just a cool thing. Giuliana Theory had gotten back together. They'd worked on an album, and I guess things fell apart, or I shouldn't say that. They might have taken a backseat. Maybe creative juices disappeared. That happens a lot in writing music. So whatever the case is, I'm glad for new music through good people, and hopefully one day they'll tour a little further away. So far, it looks like they're just touring up north in the Pittsburgh area. But something, and this is probably going to make me lose a little bit of cred, but I'll say it nonetheless. It's a weird time to be alive that I actually am having songs by both Alter Bridge and Scott Stapp that I am enjoying. Of course, once again, people know I love Alter Bridge. And I think I've said it, I know I've said it at least a few times, that I really liked Creed back in the day. I think Scott Stapp went through some difficult times multiple times and can be a bit of an unlikable person at times. His solo album that came out right after Creed broke up was very much trying to be Creed. His one from several years ago distanced itself a little bit, but still, I don't know, it just didn't grab me. But I have to say that two songs off his new album are actually quite good. I've listened to only three songs off of it. I think it just came out. But the name of the album is The Space Between the Shadows. And so far, I'm really digging Purpose for Pain and Face of the Sun. Now, somebody pointed out to me that Face of the Sun kind of sounds like a Shinedown song. But I'm okay with it, because where it might have some of that guitar styling and everything, I like Shinedown, especially the style of Shinedown song this sounds somewhat similar to. So, yeah, like I said, I'm good with it. And Purpose for Pain, I can't really think of who to compare that to, but it's a really cool, almost ominous a little bit in the guitar work, but I dig it. Sounds like he's got a really good band with him now, and I'm not saying I'm going to go see him in concert. Not saying I won't either. I just I wouldn't pay a whole lot of money at this point in my life, because I did get to see him with Creed. But pretty cool that he's got a solo album that just dropped, I think, like within the last week or so. And Alter Bridge has a new album coming out in October, and they've already released a single called Wouldn't You Rather. And this, exaggeration here, I've probably listened to this song at least once a day since it came out, and it's been out for a little while. It's on several of my playlists. It's an awesome song. I'm hoping this album is going to grab me a little more than The Last Hero did, because The Last Hero was a great album. It was their 2015 album, whatever year it was. It was their last one they put out. That sounds wrong, but whatever. It was a good album, but it just doesn't stick with me the same way as some of their old stuff. But Wouldn't You Rather is a good step in the right direction. Hopefully it's going to be that kind of album that's going to stick with me, just like their first four albums that I listened to over and over and over again. So yeah, anyway, that is Wouldn't You Rather. Also in new music, the Black Keys. Now, Black Keys is a band, been around for quite some time. I think it was like early 2000s they came out, and they were just like really gritty retro blues. And over the years, they've become more polished and done a lot of stuff that I've been a little less interested in, but what I've heard from this album really grabs me. The song that I love the most is one that's called Walk Across the Water. It is just beautiful, and it's a standout track that's kind of got a classic rock vibe, but not like, doesn't feel like you hear bands like Jet and other bands that did the classic rock thing, the retro rock thing, and it just kind of sounds like they're doing a style. I can't really think, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of bands they're emulating, but it didn't even feel necessarily like that to me with this Black Keys song. It was just, I don't know, it felt like it was from another time. I'm not doing a good job describing it, so I won't try too much harder on that, but it is a really good one. There's one, if my music app will play pull up, I will tell you another one that I was just listening to by them that I really dug. That's also off the new album, Every Little Thing. I haven't heard the whole album yet. It just came out within the last month, so and I've been doing more playlists lately, so I haven't done my normal thing of just taking in nothing but full albums. I just take in a couple songs from each album, and if they really stick with me, then I later revisit the whole album. But the name of the album is just called Let's Rock, by the Black Keys, and like I say, I think it came out a month ago. Anyway, I've had all kinds of different music playing on. Like, I hear things in movies, I hear things. I was going to say video games, but no, I don't think any new stuff in video games lately. But movies, trailers, all kinds of stuff. I just hear music all the time, and sometimes it really grabs me. So my styles have been all over the place. So a band that's, I think, pretty popular. Mizzio, Missio. Some of their stuff doesn't grab me as much as others, but there is one song off their new album called I See You. And it is what I would consider a rare, melancholic song that is extremely beautiful. It's got some depressing stuff in the song, but I don't know, it just sounds like a beautiful song and still sometimes somehow manages to sound somewhat hopeful, and I like it too that it doesn't just seem to go into their drug talk that so much of their albums do, or so much of their songs do, because that's fine, whatever. But that just seemed like several songs I've heard of theirs have just kind of reverting to just talking about that kind of stuff, and I'm like, there's more out there. I mean, maybe that's your main influence, I don't know, or maybe that's what you're trying to inspire, like, people to not. I don't really know. I definitely know one of their songs seems like it's kind of against it, or at least talking about addiction and how that's a problem. But anyway, this song, I don't know. Check it out. It's kind of electro pop, I guess. Maybe that'd be what it'd be called. I don't know. Maybe we can consider it alternative these days. Everything changes and the genres kind of blend together. But I think it's a cool song. I encourage you to check it out. So speaking of things that grab me from movies or TV shows, the song Lucky Now by Ryan Adams, not Bryan Adams, not Summer of 69's, I cannot think of what other songs he did, but no, Ryan Adams. There was a live version where he played in This Is 40, and it has become one of my favorites. It's just a beautiful song. And just shows the kind of songs, the kind of music that I like from him. So, I'm not sure what album that's off of. I didn't actually write that down before starting this podcast, and I don't feel like having you all wait on hold while I Google stuff, but that's a cool song. And I think, no, that's not it. Speaking of new albums, the person that we affectionately call the manager on these very airwaves on Place to Be Nation Pop, Todd Weber, he had a new album come out within the last month, and that is by the band he's part of, the Turnbuckle Blues Review. He plays guitar in it. A lot of it's modern blues. It's got some other influences in there. I love the harmonica work on several songs, but in particular, one called Miss Isabel. And On Fire has a really good guitar and bass rock out moments. Or maybe not rock out moments, but they cool grooves. I'll go with the word groove. So all the members are top notch, and I don't know. I encourage you to check it out. I was able to find it on Amazon Music Unlimited. I don't know if it's on the free version. It's definitely on Spotify. And anyway, I encourage you to check it out. It's really cool. I love blues music, and so anytime I get to hear a new band play some blues, no matter what style of it blues it might be, I really appreciate it and really have to seek it out. So, Get Back to You is really, really pretty. And I think that might be my favorite track off there. And then last but not least, I'm going to mention a musician I've talked about, so I say several times on the show, at least once. Lights. She's from Canada. She is a probably best known as, I guess, consider kind of like an indie electropop musician. But the coolest thing she does is after she releases an album, I think probably just because she realizes so many people love that style, and obviously she loves that style. That's what she makes. But then she does a kind of companion piece album where she doesn't just do acoustic versions. She kind of reimagines the songs a little bit. And I really appreciate that because I think it accents her voice a little better, and you can just tell how talented of a singer and songwriter she is. But the new one, it's an album that just came out, I think, last week. It's called Skin and Earth Acoustic. And this one she really enjoyed recording, I think, and producing and mixing, I think, all herself. But she went to different locations because she wanted to capture different vibes and sounds. So there's like some that are recorded in places that, as she says, you kind of hear the imperfections in the background. And that seemed to be very important to her because Skin and Earth was an album that she put out a year or two ago. That also had a graphic novel that went along with it. So this kind of just continues that. I think it's got three new tracks on it. Haven't spent enough time with a lot of it to really tell you tons of deep feelings on it, but the song New Fears Acoustic is one of my favorites so far. It's kind of got a new, I can't think of the word, but it's just a new feel, a new emotional response maybe out of that song than before. So definitely encourage you to check her out. All over YouTube you can find all kinds of videos of her playing her songs, whether it be the music video or just her showing how to play the song, whatever the case might be. Like I said, check it out. It shows a different style. If maybe her electronic doesn't do as much for you, check out this and see if maybe this might do more for you. I will probably use New Fears either in the middle or the closeout of this episode. I have not decided yet, but I'm pretty sure that's going to get used on here, so you'll hear a snippet of it. But in keeping with just making things move forward, since it's just me and that might not be the most enjoyable thing to just listen to me ramble, so I'm going to take a quick break. But when I come back, I'm going to talk about what's on both our pop feed and our wrestling feed, a little bit about our 80s tournament, and then close out once again, like I said, with my feelings on the movie Yesterday and just the Beatles in general. I don't plan on getting very in-depth with the Beatles. I know that could probably be the subject of five or so episodes if I really wanted to with the guest and everything. And I'm very likely to do that at some point. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break so you can hear about some of our other shows and about our feed, and I will be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Thank you.
back to the episode. Before we get back to, or before I get back to the discussion of the episode, we're going to talk about what's on our live, on the live reads, what's on our feeds. Right now, they got the Sarcastic Four. They continue their look at 1971 with the second of their three-part episode of Marvel Age. That's the first one that took three episodes. I guess they had a lot of discussion on there. I'm a little behind on them, so I can't say a whole lot, but I will say Tim, Todd, Russell, and Nick always have a good time discussing old classic Marvel comics, and it's always entertaining, and I enjoy looking back. I don't read a whole lot from that era, but I do enjoy some of the panels themselves. They're just, they're very well done, but it's very of their time, so it can be very humorous at times. Just some of the things that might not age so well. On their 31st episode of Songs with Friends, Steve and Kelly talk about the Gem Blossoms and DMX. Two things I always think together is always Gem Blossoms and DMX. They probably toured together, probably recorded a couple songs together. No, it just continues how they like to pick a couple different styles sometimes on their episodes. I'm halfway through that one. I gotta finish that when I get done recording this. But so far I've heard the DMX discussion. So yeah, check it out. There's always a bunch of musical background, pop-up video knowledge, random BS from Steve. I don't really know where he gets half his stuff from, but whatever. It's always an entertaining listen, and they have very good interplay. I don't really know how to... I cannot talk today. Like, I cannot come up with good words, so I'm going to keep on going. The Hard-Traveling Fanboys continue Spider-Man Month with the look back at the 2002 Sam Raimi-directed Spider-Man. That is the first Spider-Man film. It is a very entertaining film. Some parts don't age so well. Other parts are magnificent. It's fun to hear, it's fun to hear Greg go back on a long-held belief that Willem Dafoe was horrible in the movie. He is not. He overacts, of course, but, I mean, he's playing a villain in a Spider-Man movie, and I love Spider-Man, but anyway, over the top was what was called for. It's wonderful. We've been, with just in a group of us, we've been making all kinds of Willem Dafoe impressions we'll go with. So anyway, sorry, DC for You continues its celebration of Superman with a look back at the pilot episode for the classic TV show Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and also to pay tribute to the late Eddie Jones, who played Pa Kent. That is Todd and Russell. I need to catch up on their show as well, and I need to go ahead and get the DC app so I can watch that show more, because I watched a lot of episodes but missed a ton of them when it was on air, and watched a little bit in syndication but never could really catch it very often, but always enjoyed it. And of course, whoo, Terry Hatcher, she's a nice looking person. Pop Goes the Movies has Andy and Miranda discussing Toy Story 4 and Men in Black International. I have not seen Toy Story 4. I did see Men in Black International, and I won't tell you to not listen to the... I definitely want you to listen to their review. I'm sure they go way more in depth, but if you missed it, like I think most of America did, you're not missing a whole lot. I love the actors involved, but it just... It was kind of... should have been a straight for Netflix movie or something. I love the Men in Black movies, but... This wasn't a good direction. Glenn and Elena are back with a new spectacular review of Stranger Things Season 3. The Great Debate number 6 finds host Andy joined by Nick Duke, Jordan Duncan, and Scott Criscolo. The Greatest Song of the 80s tournament continues. There will be 6 polls a day posted for round one. You can get in on the action on Facebook by searching Place to Be Nation's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page. Be sure to weigh in. You can also find it on Twitter by following the Place to Be Nation Twitter account. Once again, there's 6 a day. It is very entertaining. Sometimes it's extremely painful to have to pick between certain songs, but it's I'm digging it. This has definitely got me very involved and very absorbed in these battles. I vote every day, and like I said, sometimes it's really hard to pick between them. I was looking at more recents that were just kind of easy for me to pick. Like today, I picked "Kiss on My List" by Daryl Hall and John Oates. That was against Janet Jackson's "Control." But I know yesterday it was Aerosmith's "Love in the Elevator" versus Van Halen's "Jump," and sadly, it looks like "Jump" won. I like "Jump," but "Love in the Elevator," love that song. That's from, I'm not going to say peak Aerosmith. I still tend towards the 70s, but really dig anything Aerosmith once they came back in the, like, 80s. Well, I mean, they were around for a little while longer, but in 87 or so when they started putting out really good stuff again. So, anyway, sorry, I got off my live read. Let's go back to it. Over on the wrestling feed, we've got Ben Zaney. He drops two episodes of Row 1, Seat 1 this week, welcoming guests Dominic Guarini and Tony Deppen. On episode 130 of Main Event, Scott, Nate, and Steve are joined by Sheriff Pete. I'm not even going to try to say that. To talk about New Japan, NJPW, I guess that's, yeah, G1 Climax, AEW, Impact, Evolve, and much more. Wonder if that dude's actually a sheriff. I'm doubting it. Chris and Devin are back to bring you a same-night review of Extreme Rules 2019. In the latest episode of Place to Be Nation podcast, JT and Scott welcome Tim Slomka, sorry if I mispronounced that, to the mothership as they talk the WWF MSG house show from October 1989. That's easy for me to say. Don't miss the pilot episode of a new ECW-focused podcast entitled Place to Be Nation Extreme Three-Way Dance, where hosts JT Rosero, Jennifer Smith, and John D'Amato review the concept of the show and what is to come. And on the PlaceToBeNation.com, tribute to the 1994 is going. The brand new piece on Woodstock 1994, as well as a piece where JT looks back at Bob Backlund's challenging Bret Hart for the WWF title on Superstars. Also, excellent network adventure is back, and look at Black Saturday from 1984. There's also stuff you can do on the Bigelow 34 Pro boards and get in on their GWWE pay-per-view and TV match project ever. Make sure you research those things and get involved if you want to. But in all seriousness, definitely get involved in the 80s tournament. It's going to go on for a while. I can't remember how many songs it was, but there's a lot. So I closed my phone, which was a bad idea. Hold on 1 second. So on to what's kind of inspired this kind of impromptu episode. Watched this movie yesterday. If you haven't heard about it, it's basically a guy wakes up in a world where nobody remembers the Beatles except for him. He's a singer-songwriter. He's been struggling for years to make any headway with it. Very talented singer, actually. And I apologize in advance if I can't say his name correctly, but it's Himesh Patel is how I would say it. That might be wrong. But anyway, he wakes up in the world, nobody remembers the Beatles. He's playing songs for his friends that are written by the Beatles, and they think they're original songs. And next thing you know, he's getting all kind of recognition, gets to record some of the songs. That blows up, and anyway, he's meeting Ed Sheeran, who just is amazed at his songwriting ability. And anyway, it's a cool, I'm obviously not going to give you beat by beat of the movie. That all is given away in the trailer, don't worry. That's not me just telling the whole movie. But so he has a lot of fun with it, but kind of finds that, you know, obviously there's a little guilt in stealing songs from other people. even if other people don't remember them. I would call it a feel-good movie. It's a comedy, definitely got some great comedic moments. Like I said, he's a good musician. His co-star, Lily James, I believe is correct, has a really pretty voice. Kind of wish they'd had more, let her sing a little bit more. That I know on the soundtrack, they did a cover of, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and they trade off on vocals and harmonize some, and they do a really good job with that. I'm not going to call it a groundbreaking movie or anything like that. It definitely had its problems, but I encourage people to check it out. I love supporting these music movies, whether it be as big budget as Bohemian Rhapsody or Rocket Man. I'm just so happy to be living in a time where we're getting all these movies about all these musicians that are, that probably should have happened long ago. And then this one having a spin on it where it's kind of science fiction, but really just kind of kind of a silly plot thread to make that happen. It's really cool to be all these movies based on music, because obviously that's what I love. You know, I wouldn't do a music podcast if I didn't love music. So this movie grabbed me, put me in a really good mood. If I had not been so tired that day, I would have recorded that day. But I decided to come up with a little bit more stuff that I wanted to talk about that I talked about already in the first half. And so this movie features so many of their beautiful songs, such as Yesterday, I Saw Her Standing There, Something, Here Comes the Sun, The Long and Winding Road, She Loves You, Hard Day's Night. One song I had not thought about in a long time, and it got me to really appreciate, and I've listened to several times since, both the soundtrack version and the original version, but In My Life. Oh man, that's a beautiful song. I would love to be able to write a song that wonderful. Also has Hey Jude, and Obladi Oblada. Like I said, if you love music, it's definitely worth checking out. Sadly, by the time you hear this episode, it might not be in your local movie theater. But if it is, or if it's in a dollar theater, go see it. Like I say, if you love music movies and want to laugh and kind of enjoy a love story, I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. That's all in there as well. Like I said, Lily James is great in it. She does a great job singing, but she's also just adorable. So it's just so many great reasons to see the movie. The song In My Life, it's just a beautiful, sweet love song. I honestly had forgotten about it because it's not one of their bigger hits, and it's not one of their bizarre songs that I also really get into, because I love some of their bizarre songs, such as Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey, and some of the ridiculous things that are on the White Album, which are all still, or not going to say all, but mostly still really good. I forget about some of these earlier songs. I'm even guilty of not really giving proper love to the early ones, like She Loves You and stuff like that as well, or Hold Your Hand. I get more into the, like, Revolver 65, 66, Sgt. Pepper's 67, all that kind of stuff. That's more my style of Beatles. But it kind of brings in some of everything in there. A lot of good jokes if you know the Beatles. And so, like I said, if it's playing at one of your theaters, go see it. Even give it some love. Buy it when it comes out, or at least rent it. I want more movies like this to happen. And sadly, this summer, mostly just the Disney and the superhero movies are doing well, and maybe horror movies. Comedies aren't doing so well, so go support them. Seeing the movie got me listening to a bunch of Beatles stuff again. Not just what's on the soundtrack, but just some of everything. I went through and made a really fun playlist involving Oh Darling, I Want You, just all kinds of stuff. There's a Bruce Springsteen movie coming out very soon. I think it's... No, what the heck's the name of the song? Anyway, it comes out in mid-August. I cannot think of the name right the second, and I don't feel like Googling it. Actually, I say that, I will tell you, because I want to tell you. So it's just kind of a peak time for movies coming around music. Like I said, the first two were more of based on people's actual lives. These are kind of more creative ways of talking about how the music means so much to people and how it can help people through tough times and just all that kind of stuff. The Bruce Springsteen one is called Blinded by the Light, and it is coming out August 14th. I was going to say that, but didn't want to be wrong. So that comes out. That should be a good one. Like I said, whether you're a big music fan or more casual music fan, there's something for everybody this summer. And I just want to give some love to the comedies and the music ones. I know yesterday kind of got bad critical response. And like I said, I know it's not groundbreaking and there's some plot holes, but I mean, I don't know. If you look at movies over the years, there's a lot of movies that get love that are full of plot holes and things that, you know, maybe should be addressed a little better, but whatever. Not everything can be Citizen Kane or by today's standards, or several years ago, Avatar, which I've never seen, or Endgame or anything like that, which I love Endgame. But anyway, not really sure what middle song is going to be, but nonetheless, that's not important. Like I said, just wanted to talk about a few different things. I probably would have had a lot more to say if I had recorded this on the actual day I saw it, but that is not the case. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It went a little longer than my last one. That was not the plan, but anyway, I have been in talks with Andy Helene, who edits my podcast, who I'm very appreciative of, to have him guest in the near future. We got to nail down a topic, and then, of course, schedule. But that is going to happen. One of my friends I've talked to as well, I just need to get back to scheduling, and that is the plan. So if this has been this last month or this one has been your first one, this isn't exactly how they'd go. Normally, there's more discussion because there's two people, but at the moment it's just me. Check this out. Check out a lot of movies. Check out other stuff on the pop feed, on the wrestling feed. So I will catch y'all down the road.
I left my body down on the knees over the bed side, watching you breathe. And I saw the fire, I felt the flames, I heard the banshees calling your name. 'Cause I'm these new fears I carry with me, so you can feel stronger, you can know peace. So just hold on tight, I'll be coming for you. Every night I'll be burning for you. I'm poor.